Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, hallelujah. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm going to get this done tonight or not. He didn't even get up close. He just saw him afar off, and he ran and worshiped him. Now listen to this. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now that wasn't this man speaking. The man worshiped him. Didn't the scripture already say that the man worshiped him? Well, who's this talking? "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of that country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us in the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, that's quite a few pigs, and they were choked in the sea. Now, 16th verse, "And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." Amen. Everybody say, praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. My text tonight is, don't kill my pigs. Reach over and shake hands with somebody and say, don't kill my pigs. Leave my bacon alone, sir. Brother Fimster, if they're not acting right, you just go feel right free. Just go up there and straighten them out. If they're talking, you just talk to them. That's right. Thank you. Amen. Everybody that loves the usher, say amen.
Amen.
Certainly. Keep us all in line. Some of you better be careful. There's an eye watching you on that side. Amen. Well, now, I haven't felt a lot like preaching the last couple of days. I guess I'm a little dry. And so I have to, you understand, I have to get a little something, maybe a little trite here to catch your attention, since I won't be profound. There ain't nothing dirtier than a pig. That's right. You can take a pig and get him ready for the county fair. Now, back where we're from, we were from the corn belt. You know, we grew some big roasting ears back in that country. We had tassels on the corn and stood higher than the upstairs window. When you look out of the top window, and the top window was about 15 feet. And so these had some tall corn. Some of you don't believe that. That's right. All you Yankees from the corn belt, you ever see 15-foot corn? Yeah, certainly. Big corn. Big corn. Now, you can get... We used to raise pigs. Now, Brother Tim Moeller and Brother... Brother Joe Moeller. Yeah. Now, they know their daddy's got enough pigs, or did have. He had enough pigs to give every one of you a pig, and you could take it home and put it in your deep freeze, and he'd still have that many left, I believe. He had more pigs than any human I've ever seen. I went to visit him, and it just sounded like one of these play school toys. You pull out the string, it goes oink, 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 oink. Only there wasn't any way you could stop the string. It just kept going. Pigs everywhere. Little pigs, big pigs, white pigs, black pigs, striped pigs, yellow pigs, muddy pigs, no clean pigs. Every pig I saw out there was dirty. You can take a pig and get him ready for the county fair. Some of those old 4-H boys, they had a pig for their project. The girls were baking cherry pies. Some of us that felt like we had more sense were raising lambs and steers. No, Tim Shuttleworth had to raise pigs. There wasn't any other way around it. He had to raise pigs. I said, Tim, I can't understand why you'd take a pig anywhere, let alone to the fair. Who'd ever give a prize to a pig? He said, I'm going to get a prize for raising the finest pig in Hawkin County. All right. If that's the way it is, just go ahead. I'll never forget. Tim was getting his pig all ready for the fair. He got a brush. It looked a lot like a wire brush you scrape paint off the side of the house with. And he started working on that poor little thing. Now, a pig don't like to get washed in the first place. But he got a tub, and he got that pig, and he got it all sudsed up real good, and then he got that brush, and he started scraping on him. And the whole time he did that pig... he just kept scrubbing. It sounded like he'd been butchered. He just carried on something terrible. So when he got him all done, I thought he was going to be white, but it turned out to be pink. He scrubbed him so hard, I guess he just made him raw. It had taken a bunch of baby powder to fix that poor pig. He was in sad shape, but he was clean. And they tied a ribbon around. Some of you don't think I'm going to preach anything. You just sit there. I'm going to talk about your swine before I'm through. And so he got him all ready and put a ribbon around his neck. He was the cutest thing. And he got him on the back porch of his house so he couldn't get out in the mud and put, and he got some fencing and he wrapped it around it. And I never forget his mother how upset she was. She said, I don't want that pig on the porch. He said, but Mama, we're going to take it to the fair this afternoon. I don't want that pig on my porch. He said, it'll just be here just a few minutes. He was wrong about that. That pig wasn't there 3 minutes. That pig rooted up the wire, pulled it up, crawled off the porch, and when Tim went out to get his pig to take him to the county fair, he was laying out in that mud hole with all 4 feet sticking right up in the air. And that ribbon was just the same color as the pig, just having a big time in the sunshine. Pigs will eat anything, go anywhere. They are the nastiest, dirtiest, filthiest things in the world, as far as I'm concerned. These devils that Jesus cast out of this poor man who had been possessed of these devils, they besought the Lord to let them go into a herd of swine. Now, there were enough devils to go around. They said their name was Legion. And so they wanted to go into the swine. You'll have to understand a little about demonology. These spirits are blind. They're deaf. They're dumb. They're hungry. They want to see. They want to taste. They want to hear. They want to feel. They have lusts that are unfulfilled. They have thirst that they cannot quench. The only way a demon can fulfill itself is by taking a body or a temple of some sort and fulfilling itself in that. I heard a preacher say one time, a farmer said, I've got a cow in my place that's full of the devil. Said, every time somebody walks in the field, that thing will run him right to the fence. He's got to climb the fence or get out or something. And I heard a preacher say one time, said, well, a cow couldn't have a devil. Don't fool yourself. A demon will live in anything that breathes air and got hot blood in its veins. They went into these swine. That's why animals are wild. Demons are searching for something to fill. Now, I'm using scriptural text here. I'm telling you that these devils went into these swine. Amen. And they ran violently down the hill. They did things that they normally wouldn't have done. A hog's not going to run down and get in the water. A hog don't like to get in water where it has to swim. That's something that's contrary to its nature. When a hog runs down a hill violently, runs into the water and drowns itself, there's something wrong with it. These things had demons in them. That's what the Bible says. Well, come on, that's all said. I lost some of you on that last little point I made. That's right. That's why the devil is looking for somebody to possess tonight. If he can find a temple that has no guard up, if he can find a temple whose spirit is not clean, an entrance into that temple can be made, he'll walk in and take over lock, stock, and barrel. The Bible said when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He'll even come back to that temple from whence he came out. And he'll walk back there and he finds it swept and cleaned and garnished and all polished up nice. Why, it's got the furniture all shiny. It's got the rug all swept. It's got the floor all mopped and the sink is clean and the bathtub's cleaned out. The rings all been scrubbed from around the tub and everything's all nice. That evil spirit comes back to that body from whence it came out. That's why it's dangerous for you just to repent and then to go away hungry, empty. The devil takes advantage of people like that. I've watched people repent with tears of sorrow, hungry for God, and walk away without getting a filling experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and never touch God again. They never yielded themselves. Something happened during the week. Something happened during that month. Something happened, and they allowed an entrance to be gained into their temple by some spirit. I've gone back and talked to those people, knocked on their door, tried to counsel with them. These people have looked at me. The people that wept solemn tears a few nights before have looked at me with bitter faces and said, I don't want any of that kind of religion. I went and talked to my preacher, and he told me that was of the devil. Amen. Let me tell you what really is the text here tonight. The text is really this. We've got things in our lives, and sinners have things in their hearts, and a lot of people who call themselves Christians have things in their lives that they don't want anybody to tamper with. They'd rather have their pigs than to have somebody delivered from sin. They like their mud hole better than they like an apostolic service. They don't like for people to march around the aisle and talk in tongues and clap their hands and beat the tambourine and play the drum and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's who we're worshiping. That's who we're talking about in here. We're not talking about anybody else in here. Who do you think we were praising? Did you think we were at Panther Hall singing some kind of country music to some star somewhere? Oh, no. Jesus Christ is the star of this show. Isn't anybody going to take his place here? He's worthy to be praised. He's a deliverer. He's a cancer healer. He's a sick heart mender. He's a way maker. He's a bridge over your troubled water. Hallelujah. He's right. He's glorious. He's good. I find no fault in him, Pilate said. There hasn't been any found since that time either. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. We've come here to praise him in spirit and in truth. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, the Bible says. But some folks don't like our worship. They don't like the fact that there are people here who are so absolutely filled and thrilled with the glory of God. And they get so much inspiration and so much spiritual transfusion from worshiping the name of the Lord, that their bodies become subject to the Spirit, and that they dance and shout and sing and cry out with a loud voice, worshiping the Lord, and clap their hands together. They don't like that, especially when the preacher preaches against their pigs. They don't mind giving that kind of, they don't mind it happening to the man who is a demoniac. They'd like to keep him bound in the tombs. They'd rather have his moaning all night long. They'd rather have the moan of sin in our streets. They'd rather have the weeping of the addict who can't find enough money. He can't get enough bread to meet the debt of his blood screaming out for one more fix. They'd rather have the alcoholics laying in their concrete gutters downtown without enough whiskey to salve their bleeding minds. They'd rather have that than to see us glorify the name of a God that took whiskey out of our belly, cigarettes out of our pocket and off our breath, dope out of your veins. I'm telling you what Jesus can do. He can deliver you and leave you in your right mind. Oh, the world says you're crazy. Oh, you're backward, friend. We're not crazy. Hallelujah. We saw him coming. We resisted just like you resist. The devil's cried out and said, leave us alone. No, we're not going to leave you alone.
We're not going to leave this city alone. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A gentleman met me in a place of business this past week, and he said, Reverend, he said, why don't you just leave town alone and just do your own thing out there on campus? I said, my thing is to touch this city with a Christ that can deliver from sin. Amen. Degradation, alcohol, dope, lust, ungodliness. Hallelujah. The thing that astonishes me is that these people were happier before Jesus came and delivered this man than they were after he came. Oh, what a touching story. Jesus is in the boat. The smell of fish, old fishing boats, nets crammed up under the seats up in the front, the waves gently slapping the keel, the squeaking of the oarlocks, the whipping of the little wind in the sail, not much, and they're coming closer to the shore. Jesus turns and stands up, stretches himself just a little, puts his hands up on the front of the boat and looks off the front. Anticipation. There he is, all of heaven's glory, wrapped up in a body. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt within him bodily. Hallelujah. There he was, the sea walker, the blind eye opener, the deaf ear unstopper. Woo. Hallelujah. There he is. Hallelujah. The star creator, the moon maker. Amen. He holds the earth in the palm of his hand. He holds creation in his word. He holds life and death in his voice. Standing in a little boat, bobbing around like a cork on the ocean. And a man on the beach, already on his knees, crawling toward the lapping wave. Worshiping. Didn't know his name. Didn't know who he was in the boat. Only knew that there was something there he had to have, and he worshiped. He worshiped. Amen. He worshiped. And then resistance took hold of him. Then the spirits that were in him took hold of him. The things that had bound him for so many years took over that worship. Instead of it being the worship that it was a few moments ago, the spirit that made him cry out all night long in the tomb screaming, ah! They heard it night after night. It haunted their villages. Their children shivered when the shadows fell and ran to the house. Mama, he's crying again. I'm sorry, baby. Just come on in. Get your bath. Come on. Bring your tricycle. I don't want to go out and get my tricycle. Well, I'll get it for you. Night after night, there was a lonely little hut somewhere in that village that had a mama and some babies, but no daddy. And she was the one that bore the pain in her mind. She remembered the day he went off. She remembered the day he went crazy. She remembered how he'd gone down. Strong drink, other things, ungodliness, lewdness. After a while, it got a hold of him, obsessed. Out of one problem into another, out of one into another, until suddenly he was beyond help. He was beyond the reach of the law. He was beyond anybody's help. Even her loving, graceful hand couldn't touch him in the tombs. They'd gone out to bind him. The village had gotten petitions together. I'm sure they had. I'm sure they'd sent out their strong men, the fire department. I'm sure the police had gone, anybody that could. They'd gone out to try. They'd bound him with chains. But he'd sit in his old cold cave amongst the bones, kick off a skeleton, a human skull, over to the side, and then get his finger down in one of those chains and pry it open with an inhumane strength that only the devil could feature in a body. And he tried it until he tore the chains apart. And then he came back out to howl at the moon in the night. A madman! But they loved him better mad. They liked him better out of his mind. They liked him better full of the devil than to have their pigs touched. They loved their pigs more than they loved deliverance. This world is in the same shape. Don't make fun of us until you look at the hog wallah downtown tonight. Don't make fun of this apostolic experience until you take a look at the dive downtown with the naked women and the ungodly lewdness on our streets and one man after another following a trackless path in this city, going quickly to nowhere, staggering off one corner onto another. Don't tell me I'm crazy until you look at this mad, pleasure-mad, ungodly generation without God.
What the question really is, ma'am, you don't want to leave your hogs behind. You like your cigarettes, and you love your booze. This world likes its hogs too much. There's nothing filthier in the world than a little snuff in your lip. People will suck on that stuff until they die. Have to dig it out of their lip after they're dead. Because they're hitched on it, hooked to it. It's filthy. It's dirty. Sister Hammond and I were in a little old West Virginia town preaching revival meetings one time. And that's back when we were young, before many cataclysmic experiences came to us. We were preaching a revival meeting, and those old country people couldn't get anybody to find God. Preacher finally slipped around and told me, said,
said, if you preach against their snuff, you'll find out where the devil is.
They baptized an old lady down in that country. Preacher said, you repented? She said, yes, sir. Said, you get rid of all that snuff? Mm-hmm. Rubbed her tongue in her lip to show she didn't have any in there. So he said, all right, I'll baptize you. He baptized her, and when he did, out of her bosom, the top of her dress floated a little old snuff box up on top of her. You're saving just a little for next Monday. A lady died back in those mountains, and they wanted us to have the funeral. And so we tried. The whole family came. I'll never forget it. Remember, we tried to sing. Sister Amy played an accordion. What was the name of that song? I thought I'd never forget it. I thought it'd never end. And I looked, and I thought I was going to pass away right there with the lady in the casket. All of her children, they had snuff, tears out of their eyes and snuff out of their mouth. Twin streams. Brown down here and white up here. The more they cried, the juicier that stuff got. They had tears off their nose and snuff off their chin. I said, dear God, there's no secret why we can't have revival in this country. They love their pig. Boy, you preach about snuff and they'd all get up and walk out. You want me to tell you why cigarettes are ungodly and unclean and of the devil? Number one, they bring you under subjection to them. And the apostle said, I will be brought under the power of nothing. Number two, they're unclean. Every time you take a cigarette and suck on it, you take 13 minutes off your life. 13 minutes, every cigarette you smoke. God gave you your life. He gave you your breath. You take that very breath that God gave you to breathe and mingle it with something that's going to take that life away. That's right. And that's not all. But anything that brings you under its power that is not necessary for the body to survive, anything that brings you under that power becomes a god to you. You have to have it or else. There are people sitting in this congregation right now that would love to serve God, but they can't quit smoking cigarettes. You don't really want to serve God. You love your hogs. They advertise over the radio. You can go and get cured of smoking cigarettes somewhere over here in Dallas for $10. My God can do it in 5 minutes if you want him to do it. The reason you don't serve God is because you'd rather have your hogs wallowing in your backyard and eat a little bacon in the meantime than to give up what you've got to see people set free by the power of God. What you need is an old-fashioned baptism of God's deliverance. Alan, I feel more religious than I thought I was going to be. Hallelujah. Pigs. Whiskey. There ain't nobody in here drinking. Sure there is. There's some of you sitting in here. You're drunk right now. And people sitting in here got whiskey in their blood right now. That alcohol will damn you. It'll damn your soul. I'm going to tell you why. Because it's a god to you. You can't get rid of it. It brings you under its power. It makes you subject to it. You'll spend your last dollar for it and let your baby cry for milk. You say, I'm not that bad. You'll be that bad if you don't give your heart to God. You say, I never intend to. That's why a man took me, Brother Coates, leave last Sunday night. And he slipped me off to the side and he said,
Reverend, he said, nobody knows. My family doesn't know.
Really, they did know. Everybody knows. But he doesn't think.
Nobody knows. He said, but I've got a problem.
I said, what is your problem? He said,
I'm an alcoholic.
But what he didn't know was that his wife had come to me. His children had come to me.
Won't you pray for my daddy? He's an alcoholic.
They knew it. He just didn't think they knew it. Sure, he had a problem. You say, can God help me? He can help you if you're willing to get rid of your pigs. You know what that hog will do? It'll eat your income. It'll eat your gasoline money. It'll eat your grocery money. It'll eat clothes off your baby's back. It'll leave your wife an idiot, a nervous wreck in a hell. Don't talk to me about your whiskey. It'll send you to hell. It's a hog. It's not satisfied with a little. Did you ever watch a pig? You say, ping, 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 ping. Come on, boy. Come on. Here's a little something for you. You go. You think he's going to come up and lick your hand? He'll eat your hand if you leave it down there. A dog's got more manners than a pig. A cat's got a lot more than either one. Is that right? When you feed the pigs, you just throw it in and jump back. You're going to slop the hogs. Don't leave your foot in the trough. They don't know shoe leather from bean soup. They'll eat anything, and that's not all. They'll get in the trough. You think they're going to line up like kittens at a bowl? They line up over top each other, under each other. Then one of them will get real hasty at one leg up out of the trough, another like that, and the other leg over this side of the trough. And one will get down and just lay down the trough. Until another comes and bites him on the tail. And then he jumps in the trough. And that's the way they go until everything's gone. And then they all shag it for the mud hole. We just quit singing and shouting and talking in tongues. I don't like that tongues. Well, I'm going to tell you what, it's better than saying some of the words you say every day. Amen. You say, Jesus, 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 that's all you talk about. You talk about that a good deal too, only you take it in vain. Blaspheme his holy name. Crucify the Son of God afresh. Put him to an open shame. And you're going to go to judgment and see him face to face, eye to eye. Now what are you going to say in the judgment? They saw the man that was delivered. His testimony was, I was bound, I'm free. He was sitting clothed, my head clothes on. Say, what's so good about that? He'd been running around without any. That's what's so good about that. In his right mind, say, what's so good about that? He'd been out of his mind. He was an idiot for years. He's delivered by the power of God. They come and look at him. They see the man. The testimony wasn't just about the pig. The testimony was about the deliverance of the man. That's right. That was the first part. Twofold testimony here. The men went running back and said, hey, you know your hogs off down yonder? No, they didn't say that first. They said, you know the man out in the tombs? He's clothed and in his right mind. Jesus healed him and he's all right. Hey, you know your pigs? Yeah? They all dead. Oh, my pigs are dead. Forget the man that's delivered. Forget the power of God that heals these cancers around here and heart trouble and crossed eyes and clubbed feet. Amen. Hallelujah. That takes a man and woman out of tradition and puts them into truth. That takes them out of a theology and puts them into a reality. Forget about that and talk about what I got to give up if I start serving Jesus. Hey, you better get rid of the pigs. You better let them go. I'd rather the devil took the pigs and left you in your right mind than for you to have everything you wanted and be lost without God. Amen. We sing a song around here. I believe I'll sing it right now. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. And I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Well, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, I won't turn back, I won't turn back. You know what? A preacher asked me the other day, he said, Reverend, he said, I understand. He said, I don't want to hurt your feelings. He said, but I understand that the people in your congregation don't watch television. I said, that's right. Oh, you say, oh, no, here he goes. Oh, I've already gone. I'm not going now. I've been gone a long time. Y'all don't get upset about that. I understand they don't watch television. I said, that's right. I said, you mean they don't have any televisions in their houses? I said, mm-mm. He said, well, how do they get the news? I said, they gossip. And then I smiled and I said, some of them do, but I said, most of them hear the news on the radio, in the newspaper. There's a lot of way to get the news. It's so bad anymore, you can't miss the news. I said, now, it wouldn't be so bad if that's all we got. I said, but the problem is, I said, what do you watch, Reverend? He said, well, he said, I don't watch it much myself. I said, then what you got it for? He said, to watch the news. I said, do you read the newspaper? Yeah. You got a radio in your car? Mm-hmm. I said, well, you got to be careful what you listen to on that. But I said, if you want the news, I can give you a few stations around town that carry it every 30 minutes. And I can put my newspaper boy in touch with your house. He said, now, Brother Hanby, he said, you're putting me on. I said, no, I'm just telling you the truth. I said, this world is in love with the garbage. And they'll tell you that the reason the crime rate is like it is in the world, not just America, in the world, is because every, 3 seconds, every 6 seconds, there's a killing on television. Do you know that the average adult in America spends 9 years, almost 10 years of their life in front of a television set? What'd you say? Watching killing.
Yeah.
Everything. The other day, a small boy in Houston, Texas, was asked why he took a gun and loaded it and killed his father when he walked in the door from work. His father came in the door, and the boy stepped out of the closet and says, hey, Dad, watch. Pow! Put a load of buckshot right through his father's heart. Boom, just like that. Mother ran up, grabbed the gun, said, what have you done? He said, Daddy, you'll get back up. Daddy didn't get back up. The boy found the shells, the boy found the gun, just turned around and killed his father just like that. You know why? He'd been watching it all his life on television. And it's all a big fake, and they know it's a big fake. I'm telling you, it's garbage. It has no place in a Christian home. But people love that stuff. They love to be entertained. That's why we come to church and feel so good about it. That's why we can come to church so often. Because this is where we get entertained. This is where we get our entertainment. This is what we love. The Bible said in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You can give them a television, they'll sit at home and watch it, but you can't get them to church. He said, well, we have about 700 on Sunday morning. He said, but we don't have about 75 on Wednesday night. I said, they're all watching Petticoat Junction or something. That don't sound so good to me. I heard that title. I got it in there on one of the things they gave me for advertising. They said, Brother Hamby, would you like for one of your spot announcements to be during Petticoat Junction? I said, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Petticoat Junction. If anybody here knows what that is, you need to help me, because I don't know if we want an advertisement on Petticoat Junction or not. But I tell you what this world needs. It needs the gospel. And it needs it bad. There's enough garbage in this world. It looks to me like people all over town would be up shouting, saying, hey, you ought to go up to that Pentecostal church. People get delivered up there from sin. The devil gets out of them and they get God in them. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Amen. Go, come. See, a man told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I'm telling you where Jesus is. Jesus is where you want to find him. But you got to let the hogs go. Get rid of the pig. Don't kill my pig. Let me tell you something. If you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name, you can kiss the hog goodbye. Woo! Hallelujah! Preacher,
Preacher preached a few years ago, and he took his text and he said, "My text is, I'm giving the pigs a permanent wave." And he preached about the prodigal son that said goodbye forever to the pig pen. Amen. That's what we need to do, is say goodbye to the pig pen. Amen. That's what got you in trouble. That's why you're in the shape you're in now. But if you give your heart to the Lord, you'll never be the same again. Amen. Hallelujah. Out of the pig pen into God's good grace. The prodigal son had been gone a long time, spent all of his living. Why should he come back home again? The Bible said he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. That's where this world is today, in the pig pen. You can pass by my preaching tonight, friend, but I've told you the truth, and you'll face it in the judgment. That hog will eat everything that you've got that's good. It'll slurp up every bit of holiness, godliness that you can produce in your nominal church. And before it's all over, you'll wind up just an absolute nothing on God's books. Nothing. You say, "Y'all think you're holy." We don't think any such thing. We're just glad we found him, saw him coming afar off and worshiped him. And said, "Jesus, Jesus." Jesus. And when resistance reached out and said, "No, leave us alone," Jesus said, "Come on, come here, come here. Wave the pigs goodbye. Come on back to Father's house." And the Bible said, and these stories are so much alike. One is a real story and the other is a parable. And when he saw him coming, his father saw him coming yet afar off, he ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen. Said, "Come on back, son. Come on back, son. Come give your heart to God." You say, "I don't know about all this yelling." You need to cry and repent and ask God to forgive you of your sins. You need to be baptized in water in Jesus' name for the remission of all your sins. God will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The choir is going to sing this beautiful song, "There's No Place Like Home." And as they sing it right now, I want to ask you to come. Let me pray for you tonight. If you'll come and stand here at the front, I'll meet you here. There'll be gentlemen and ladies here to pray with you. We're going to help you find the Lord. Wave the pigs goodbye. You just need to say goodbye to sin. I'll tell you something else. The devil don't like this kind of preaching. He'd like to leave you with your sin. I'm going to tell you one more time before they sing. I want to tell you one more time. You don't know what you're missing without a Pentecostal experience. Friend, we're not faking it. It is wonderful to know the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Come give your heart to the Lord tonight. Would you do that?